Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Church, right now, I want to encourage us to welcome together the senior pastor and mother of our house. Why don't we welcome together Pastor Chrissy Lee as she shares the word today.
Welcome anybody dialing in online as well. So good that you joined with us today. Perth, Western Australia is a good place to live. Amen. Amen. How good is this weather? Three people are enjoying it. I'm one of you. So good. So good. Water baptism services are always an incredibly powerful time. Let's see this place packed out next week, hey, as we just celebrate what God's doing in people's lives, yeah? So good. If you haven't been water baptized, I join with Pastor Rick and say, do it. Now is the time. Now is, if you think the Lord might be speaking to you, he probably is. Do it. So good. Who's ready for the Word of God today? I got a message that's burning in my heart. We had a great time earlier on today when I ministered this, and I just believe God wants to do something in this room and online right now. Has anyone got faith in the room? So good. I'm going to preach a message to you called Water into Wine. Turn to your neighbor, say, water into wine. And online too, turn to your friend on the couch. Water into wine. Water into wine. With a title like that, you can probably guess where we're going to in Scripture, right? Yes, and you're probably right. We're turning to the book of John chapter 2. Which is, of course, the miracle where Jesus indeed turns water into wine. Let's have a read of it together. We're going to start at verse number 1. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Now, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus said, woman, why are you laughing? Woman, why do you involve me? Now, if you're a husband in this place, probably not the best way to address your wife. Teenager boys, probably not the best way to address your mother. But I'm led to believe that culturally, that was actually not as we might experience it today. Culturally, that was actually a term of endearment, a term of respect, where he said, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. I love this interaction between mother and son. She doesn't even dignify his you know, rebuttal with a response. She just turns to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you to do. So nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, okay, fill these jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Oh my goodness, what a mind-blowing miracle. Water turned into wine. The master of the banquet did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew what had happened. Then he called the bridegroom aside and he said, wow, everyone brings the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best until now. What an awesome passage of Scripture, an incredible miracle performed by Jesus. This was actually his very first recorded miracle. This was, I guess, the miracle that put Jesus on the map. People started to take notice of this Jesus guy after this miracle and news spread. And it is a remarkable miracle. It is actually full of prophetic symbolism. If you start to study it, it's full of revelation. And I guess many preachers over many years have preached it in many, many ways. But today, what I really want to hone in on is let's take a look together at the role of the servants in this story. We're going to have a look at the role of the servants in this story because If you've been around Nations in the last couple of weeks, you would know that we've been having a conversation about serving Jesus. Yeah. We've been having this conversation about what it is to serve Jesus with our lives and how to give him our all. And it's very interesting to me that in performing this miracle at this wedding in Cana, Jesus actually chooses to work with the servants of the house. He chooses to partner with them in this miracle. You think about it, Jesus being Jesus. He is Jesus. He is God. He could have materialized this wine however he wanted to. He could have done that independent of anybody else in the room, but he didn't. He chose to involve the servants, the ones who were positioned in the house as servants. He involved them. And this is actually a trait that is typical of our God. He chooses to involve people as his servants. See, God is God. God, he created the heavens and the earth. He's created the universe. He's done this completely independently without the help of humanity. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's proven to us that he can get stuff done without us. And yet we see that it is in his nature to involve humanity in his work. That's the way he works. He just involves us in what he wants to do on the earth. When we see it throughout scripture time and time again, when God needed a deliverer for his people, he raised up Moses. When he needed a conqueror for his people, he raised up Joshua. When he needed shepherds for Israel, he raised up kings, messengers for Israel. He raised up prophets, you know, church planters. He raised up apostles. This is the way God works. On and on we could go with how he uses people and involves people in his work. See, what he could accomplish perfectly well in his divinity, he just chooses to use humanity. He chooses to use you. He chooses to use me. And if we're honest, we all know God could do a better job without us. He'd probably do a faster job than us. He probably wouldn't stuff it up the way we sometimes stuff it up. Do I have a loud amen? Amen. But he involves us. He involves us. He desires for us to serve him. He involves us. And right now in this area, we're the one he wants to use. We are the ones that he wants to use. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Just like the Bible heroes of old that we read about, he's raising us up in this day and age that we would serve him with our lives and see him do great exploits through the service that we bring him. There's a method, I guess, to his madness. You know, there's a reason why he uses us in his service and in his work, because as we serve others and as we serve him, we become like him. Ken's preached it so many times that we are created to be like God. We're created to be like Jesus. The end goal of this discipleship journey is that we would live like him and love like him and look like him. And Jesus looked like a servant. Jesus didn't look like some rich guy with all these ducks in a row. Jesus didn't look just like some big deal, some hot shot. Jesus looked like a servant. He said of himself, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus came to lay my life down as a ransom for many. That's why I'm here, to lay my life down. And so if we're really disciples, if we're truly interested in being disciples by nature and not just by name, then the truth, the reality is we also must serve. We also must lay our lives down for the sake of this kingdom. And for his cause, it's a paradox of the kingdom that he doesn't really need us to serve him, but we must serve him in order to become like him. Powerful paradox of the kingdom. So we land back at this wedding in Cana, and we don't exactly know who was getting married. But what we do know is that Jesus and his disciples were invited, and also Mary and his brothers, they were there at the wedding. And so some speculate that it was someone very close to Jesus' family who was actually getting married, possibly even one of his siblings. But, you know, whatever the case, Mary, Jesus' mother, she had some sort of formal capacity here at the wedding. The problem that they had run out of wine was a problem for her personally. This was a problem for not just for the host of the ceremony, but it impacted Mary personally. Who loves to host gatherings? It's a pretty bad feeling if you're hosting a gathering and you run out of food or drink, right? That is not a nice feeling. That is the feeling that Mary was feeling in that moment. And I just think, how handy would it be to have a miracle working son in that moment? Like, I've got two sons, and I think about them in a moment where I'd run out of food and drink, and I don't think that they would be of much assistance. In fact, they're probably the reason that we've run out of food and drink, truth be told. You know, Jensen has never been known to multiply bread, only subtract it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But Mary, she had the right son for the job. She knew where it was at. She had the right son for this particular moment. And she approaches Jesus and she says in John 2, verse 3 and 5, they have no more wine. He says, woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. It's this funny little interaction, but I just love this line that she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And it is so profound, even for you and me today, because when you think about it, should not all of our serving, should not all of our serving be based off a platform of obedience to Jesus? That we would all just do whatever he tells us to do. You know, so often the motivation of our serving is actually more obligation to men rather than obedience to Jesus. And this shouldn't be the case. We should never be one serving out of obligation to men. We're called as disciples to serve out of obedience to Jesus. You know, sometimes that root motivation is not so much pleasing the Father, but it's people pleasing. It's pleasing the people around us. Have you ever served out of a sense of obligation? I know that I definitely have. I'm sure that you actually probably have in different seasons. But the problem with serving out of obligation is obligation usually is accompanied by its friends. Things like reluctance. Things like complaining. Things like a little bit of resentment. I don't think obligation rarely travels alone. It always brings its friends. And when we serve out of obligation, it's true, the work might get done, but I don't think the kingdom's really winning. I don't think the kingdom's really winning. See, the platform for all of our serving ultimately needs to be obedience to Jesus and just being a people that would be all about doing whatever he tells us to do. You just do what he tells you to do, because when we serve with obedience, we find that obedience also has friends. Obedience doesn't travel alone. It brings grace. It brings anointing. It brings authority and increase and miracles and fruitfulness. Obedience travels with all of these incredible things so that the kingdom wins when we simply obey Jesus. It's such a kingdom principle. Where God guides, he provides. Where God leads you, the Holy Spirit will empower you. He'll do more than what in your own strength you could ever do. And we don't want to be a church. Nations Church does not want to be a church that manipulates people to serve out of some sense of obligation to men. We want to be disciples, true disciples, that if and when we serve, it's out of a heart of obedience to Jesus. Amen. A true disciple has that heart to pray, Lord, in what ways do you want to use my life? Lord, in what ways shall I serve you? In what ways shall I serve the ones around me? And when we pray that from our heart, he's so faithful to answer that prayer and to lead us into those areas and spaces where he desires that we would serve him. These servants from the story, they are so inspirational because not only did they obey, they went over and above. They went over and above. See, it says in verse 7 of the text, Jesus says, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Jesus didn't tell them to fill them to the brim. He just said, fill the jars with water. But these servants, they took it upon themselves to fill the jars to the brim. So the scriptures record six water pots, each having between 20 and 30 gallons in each. So that's approximately around about 600 liters of water in total. And this is the days before the Water Corporation. It's not like they just go and shove the pot under the tap, you know, and fill those babies up. You know, that was not how this went. They had to do multiple trips back and forth to the well, just filling a few liters at a time, a few liters at a time. It would have cost them something. It required their efforts and their energies, and yet they took it upon themselves to fill these things to the brim, to the brim. And I think it's remarkable because when you look at the instruction of Jesus, again, kind of if you're that way inclined, it was sort of open to interpretation. You know, what do you really mean by fill, Jesus? Can you just define fill? You know, so he's half full, filled enough, you know, would that suffice maybe? Just 3/4 full? Would that be enough, Jesus? You know, because you do realize Jesus is going to take us quite a bit of time. You do realize Jesus is going to cost us quite a bit of energy and effort. It's quite a lot of work. And Jesus, respectfully, in case you haven't noticed, we don't have a water problem around here. We got a wine problem. You know, we have run out of wine. We haven't run out of water. Have you ever considered, Jesus, that this whole water thing could be an absolute waste of time? It's open to negotiation, right? But the Bible doesn't record a negotiation. The Bible just records servants who literally did whatever Jesus told them to do, even when it didn't make sense, and they did it over and above. They filled those things to the brim. How often do we sometimes just try and bring the bare minimum? How often do we just, you know, kind of have a mentality, we don't really want our serving to cost us anything? And we can have that mind to negotiate with Jesus and that mind to negotiate with the scriptures. And we kind of take it up with our Christian responsibility. Jesus, when you said, serve one another in love, well, can you just define serve? You know, because I served a little bit last year, and, you know, does that mean I can take this time off? Or, you know, when you said, you know, freely you have received, now freely give. Can you just define give? Because I have given a little bit, you know, is that enough? Have I done enough? And we try and have these conversations around the bare minimum. You know, what's the least I can do and still remain in a vicinity of obedience? But we need to stop that. We need to stop those bare minimum conversations, because you need to know when we have those conversations, they're not kingdom conversations. And when we have those sort of conversations, maybe more importantly, we don't look like Jesus. We don't look like him, because I'm so glad Jesus did not just do the bare minimum when it came to you and when it came to me. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't try and negotiate with the Father to say, well, can you just define, lay down your life? You know, if I just gathered 12 around me and taught them a bit, surely that would be enough. If I just let them beat me a bit, surely that would be enough. Surely not the cross. Surely not my whole life. Surely not a complete sacrifice. But that wasn't his mentality when it came to you and me. He went over and above. He laid down his whole life in service for us. It cost him something. He broke the bread of his body. He spilled the wine of his blood. He served you and he served me. And he has become our example. In all these things, he is our example. Jesus says exactly that. In Matthew 5, verse 40, he says, if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, give him your coat also. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you. Don't reject the one who wants to borrow from you. This is Jesus speaking. This is our rabbi talking to us disciples. These are words for us to hear. You have heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, so that, this is the reason why, so that you may be like your Father in heaven. That's the goal. That in loving others and in serving others and even going over and above, we become like Jesus. We look like Him. That's what He does. It's in His nature to go over and above. Therefore, it should be in our nature too. There's a quote from Charles Spurgeon, a famous 19th century preacher. And in relation to these servants at the wedding in Cana, he said this. I love this quote. He said, "These servants are a pattern for our faith and obedience. When you are bidden to believe in Him up to the brim. And when you are told to love Him up to the brim. And when you are commanded to serve Him up to the brim." We're not a bare minimum people. We're an up to the brim people, not to glorify self, but to glorify King Jesus who lives in us. Do I have an amen? Up to the brim. I love how diligent these servants were with just water. It was just water, like I said before. They didn't have a water problem. They had a wine problem. And yet they were so faithful and so diligent with what was just water. You know, water isn't very exciting, at least in our context, you know, living in the country that we live in. You know, there's nothing tremendously outstanding about water. It's, you know, it's just water. It's just water. It's just common. It's just mundane. And maybe I wonder if you've ever had a moment where you looked at your serving and you called it just water. Have you ever had a moment when you looked at the things you were doing for Jesus and kind of called it insignificant? Kind of called it as if it was nothing, kind of called it as if maybe even it was wasted, time wasted. I think sometimes we can do that. I don't think I'm the only one. I think sometimes we can survey all of our service for Jesus, whether that be hospitality or an open home or, you know, a heart to kind of speak a word of life or an encouraging word or whatever it might be. But we can look on these things and call them nothing. And we can look on those things and minimize them or dismiss them just because it feels so common. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it feels like it's maybe achieving nothing or worth nothing. I actually hear people say it all the time. They're like, "I'm just a greeter. I just make the coffee around here. I just shake hands around here. I just open my home. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a nurse. I'm just." And there's this sense of minimizing. There's this sense of dismissing. There's this sense of calling it just water, just water. Maybe that's sometimes why we do just the bare minimum, because we're not placing value on it. We're not placing worth on it. We're not calling it significant. We're saying it's not worth much. You know, the servants in the story, they just poured water. That is all they did. But here's the clincher. Here's the difference maker. They did it in obedience to Jesus. And as they poured water for Him, He performed a miracle in front of them. That's the difference. They brought Him water. He turned it into wine. He's the one that turned it into wine. And embedded right here, right in this miracle, is a principle of serving Jesus, that He's the miracle worker, not us. You know, it's Him. He's the dynamic one. He's the supernatural one. He's the exciting one, the miraculous one. All any of us ever have to offer Him is just water. You know, all any of us ever have to offer Him is just common. It's just common to men and women. It's just unspectacular. It comes from our best heart on earth, our best efforts on earth. It's mundane, but it doesn't actually matter what you do. Whether it's preparing food or opening your home or encouraging someone or giving a listening ear, whether you're cleaning toilets or flying around the world preaching in stadiums, it's all just water. You understand that? It is all just water. I love it what Paul says in Colossians 3:23. Ken mentioned it in his word last week. Whatever you do, turn to your neighbor and say, whatever you do. Like, whatever you do, whatever you do. I love it so much. Work at it with all of your heart. Bring your whole life to it. Bring your whole heart to it. Because you're working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do, it encompasses everything. It's a completely inclusive word. Whatever can be worship. Whatever can be an offering, because the focus is not on what you do, it's on who you're doing it for. Let me say it again if you're taking notes. The focus is not on what you do, but it's who you're doing it for. When we bring that service to Jesus, whatever it might be, He's the one that can turn the water of our service into wine. He moves on it. He breathes on it. The natural part, that's our business. The supernatural part, that's His business. He's in the business of bringing supernatural into our natural and extraordinary onto our ordinary. Amen. It doesn't matter how special you deem a person to be or how anointed or whatever. It's all just water. All any of us have to offer Him is water. Nobody is capable of turning water into wine on their own. Nobody can do that. Yeah, I had a season in my life, a season of serving in my life, and I actually called it nothing. I actually walked away from that time calling the season nothing. In fact, I was really disappointed at the end of that season. I was super disillusioned, discouraged, and I'd been about 18 or 19 at the time, and I had really, it was my very first experience of serving in a church context. I was helping out in a high school ministry, and we had an opportunity to go into a particular school, and we would make connections with the students and run some little programs, and then we had an opportunity to invite them to the youth ministry, and in that place they could hear the gospel. And in the early stages, things were going really well, really well. I was making some great connections with some of the Year 9 girls, and many of them wanted to come to youth with me, and so I'd pick them up in my car, and some of them had even come, and they had received Jesus, and it was wonderful. It was really good. And I was so deeply committed to serving these girls in this way at that time. And you've got to realize I was living in Mount Pleasant, and most of them lived up around the Bedfordale Hills, and the youth ministry was in Armidale. So I would drive on a Friday night from my home in Mount Pleasant to the Bedfordale Hills. I'd pick them up. I'd take them to youth in Armidale, and then I would do the whole thing in reverse at the end of the night, usually via McDonald's or Hungry Jack's, because it's very important in youth ministry. So it was like nearly a two-hour round trip every Friday night to do this, and it cost me. Cost me time. It cost me energy. It cost me petrol money, which is also very important when you're 19. Now, after a bit of time, one of the key girls that I was picking up, she actually had a falling out. She had a conflict with one of the other youth leaders, and she vowed that she would never come back again, and she didn't. And because she was so key, because of her influence amongst the other teenagers, one by one, they all just started to fall away. One by one, they all started to drop off. None of them wanted a ride to youth anymore, despite my best efforts at kind of following them up. They wouldn't come. And I was devastated. I was really brokenhearted at that time. And I was very immature. Like I said, I was only kind of 18, 19. And in my immaturity, I actually walked away from youth too. I walked away from serving. And it actually was a catalyst for me backsliding. I walked away from my faith in God for that season. And I labeled that season nothing. I labeled that season a big fat waste of time, you know, total disappointment, completely disillusioned. And I obviously came back to the Lord. He was gracious and kind to me. But it was about 5 years ago. I was on Cottesloe Beach, and a lady ran up to me, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's like, it's you, I can't believe it's you. And lo and behold, it was one of these girls that I had used to pick up for youth all those years ago. she started to actually to tell me about her life. She started to tell me about how hard things had gotten. She'd been through two divorces. She'd been in abusive situations. She'd been at times where she felt she had completely lost hope. But she started to say that even in her darkest times, she always remembered how I had cared for her and how I had invested into her and how I had been unapologetic in my faith and authentic in my faith, and how this example that I had left for her in her life as a teenager had actually been part of the story whereby she turned back to God. And today she's working as a chaplain in one of the hardest district high schools in WA. She's pastorally caring for an Indigenous school community, married again to a godly man, leading in her church. And this is what she said to me in a text message. She said, "What you modeled to me all those years ago is now woven into everything I do." What a crazy compliment. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to Him. Praise Jesus. So I'd walked away from that season and I called it nothing. I'd walked away from that season. I was so dejected. I was so disappointed. I was like, that was just water. It's just a waste of time. It didn't mean anything. But Jesus came in and He took the water of my service and He turned it into wine. I did what I could do, but then He did what He could do. And Holy Spirit caused this girl's life to go full circle so that she's walking in purpose and destiny. To God be the glory. I guess the question to all of us and online as well, what does Jesus want to do with your water? What does Jesus want to turn the water of your service into? He's not looking for a superstar. He's not looking. I love the lyric of that song we sung. You're not looking for perfection. He's just looking for people that would simply step up and sign up and say, Jesus, I'm going to serve you with my life. Got to serve you with my life. Romans 12:1 in the Message version encapsulates it perfectly. It says, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. Just take it, whether it's you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around. Take your life and place it before God as an offering. Isn't that precious? You know, when we bring our ordinary to Him as an offering, He can do anything. There's actually no limit to what God can do if you would bring Him the water of your service. And it's actually exciting. It's actually exciting because you never quite know what Jesus is going to turn the water of your service into. The Christian life is supposed to be exciting. The Christian life is supposed to be a dynamic adventure as you follow Jesus, as you follow Him. Because if you bring Him your water, you get to see the miracle unfold in front of your eyes. My hands took a part of that. It says that the guests and the master of the banquet, they didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servants knew. The servants partook in it. The servants participated in it. That's the exciting adventure of serving Jesus with your life. Stop minimizing your service. Stop diminishing it. Stop calling it nothing. Stop telling Jesus it's not accomplishing anything. And just decide to be a person that's going to bring Jesus some water to work with. Here's some water to work with. If you can do anything, do something with this. Jesus, I guarantee that 100% of the water that we never bring won't get turned into wine. 100% of the water we don't bring won't get turned into wine. For every person that we leave ungreeted around here, for every testimony that we never share, for every meal that we never cook, for every bit of care that we withhold from others, they are missed opportunities. The Holy Spirit can't ride in on those things. He'll ride in on other things. He'll come in. He'll do what He needs to do because He's God. But I tell you, the more water we bring Him, the more wine He can make. The more water we bring Him, the more wine He can make. Would we just be a people, Nations Church? would we just be a people that are obedient to Jesus, that determine in our hearts, I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. And I'm not just going to bring him a bare minimum. I'm going to bring him something up to the brim, up to the brim, up to the brim. And if he can turn water into wine, let him do it with the water of my service. And we get to see his kingdom established on the earth as he does wonders through you. Wonders through you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All over this place, why don't you stand up? Even online right now, why don't you just allow the atmosphere to shift in your space? Because I believe the Holy Spirit is here. He's on this word today. He's on this for people. He wants to minister to people. He wants to speak to you today. Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in our lives right now? Let that atmosphere shift as the Holy Spirit just invades your space, as you give him your full focus and your full attention. Before we move on in the service, what we always do is give people an opportunity to invite Jesus into their life, to invite Jesus into their heart, to be the Lord and Savior of their life. There might be people in this room right now, people watching online, you've never done that. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never said a prayer and invited him to come into your life. And you can do that today. You can do that today. It's you that I'm speaking to today. Or maybe you did once upon a time serve Jesus with your life, but you know that right now you are not. Right now you're not in that position where you're walking with him in relationship, and you can come back to him today. You can come back to him today. And Christians around the room, you're just praying with me. You're praying with me for this moment, for the decision that people have in front of them right now. Because Jesus came to earth fully God. God came to earth. God came to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. And he didn't come to get anything from us. He came to give to us. He came to serve us. He came to serve us all the way to the cross, where his body was broken and his blood was spilt, and he died. He died. God died for you. And he didn't stay dead. God the Father rose Jesus back to life again so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. We could have our past washed clean. We could be set back on right track and in right relationship with God, not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus has done, because of what Jesus has already done. But every single person, every man, woman, and child needs to make the decision in their own heart if they will say yes to Jesus or no. If they will open up the door of their lives to him or not. Believe in him and receive him into their lives or not. And that's the decision I'm laying before you right now. Do you believe in Jesus and do you want to receive him into your life? Do you believe in him and do you want to make him the Lord and the Savior of your life? Because if you do, just like the girl from my story, he can turn your life 180. He can set you on a new path. He can give you a new hope so that you know you walk in right relationship with God and you walk in the purpose that for which he designed you for. All over this room with every eye closed right now and online too. If you're saying in your heart, I do believe in Jesus and I do want to pray a prayer. I want to invite him into my life. I want him to be my Lord. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. If that's the prayer of your heart today, then I would be so honored to lead you in a powerful, simple prayer of salvation. We're not going to single anyone out. We're not going to embarrass anybody. In fact, the whole church will pray together with you. We'll pray together with you. But it can be your moment today where you make your peace with God and invite Jesus into your life. So all over this room, nobody looking around, just me, a few leaders at the back, just raise your hand like you're in a classroom so I know who I'm praying for today. Who's going to give their life to Jesus today? Who's asking him in to be the Lord and Savior of their lives today? Come on, all over this place. Thank you, Christians, for just praying with me. This is an important moment. This is an important moment. He wants to fill your life with hope. He loves you so much. He loves you that much that He died for you. He came to serve you just on the off chance that you might receive Him. Who wants to receive Him today? Watching online and you know that God's moving in your heart right now. You know you either want to give your life to Jesus for the first time or you're coming back to Him. We want to connect with you. Go to nationschurch.com/my decision. One of our pastors will get in touch with you and we'll minister to you, and your life can change in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Come on, everybody else, just close your eyes in the presence of the Lord. We're not done here. It's still early. Jesus wants to minister to you. Jesus wants to minister to us. He's speaking to you today. Do you have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying? What the Holy Spirit is saying. He is looking for people. He is looking for disciples that would just serve Him with their all. Serve Him with their lives, not a bare minimum type of people, but an up to the brim type of people, a people passionate about not obliging men, but being obedient to Christ. If Jesus says, would you feed my sheep? We'll say, yes, we'll feed your sheep. If Jesus said, would you break this bread? We say, yes, we'll distribute this bread. If he says, would you love and care for the orphan and the widow? Our hearts say, yes, we'd love and care. That's the kind of people that Jesus is looking for, And I've just asked the band to prepare a song. It's such a powerful song, powerful lyrics. And I invite you today to not just sing a song, but to make it your prayer. To not just sing the lyrics because you're going through the motions, but to make it a point of intercession. See, the lyrics say, make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever it is that you want me to be. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. And this moment when we sing in just a moment, it is a moment for you. If you know that your heart has shifted, if you know you've been serving more out of obligation than out of obedience, you shift back right now in this moment. Today is your day. If you know you've been more interested in serving yourself or serving earthly things, but today you're coming back. Today in your heart of hearts, if you sing these lyrics today, it's your prayer saying, Jesus, I come back. I want to serve you with my life. I'm asking Jesus that you would take the water of my service and you would turn it into wine. I'm asking Jesus for grace to serve you again, to go again. If that's your prayer, sing this from your heart. Sing this from your heart. Come on, lead us.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.